Baasraak. Jy kan enige uitdaging of bekommernis in jou lewe baasraak. Baasraak. Jy luister na manne van die woord Zoom byeenkoms op Baasraak Web Radio.
Almal môre luisteraars, kom ons sluit die oë. Ons hemelse Vader, Here, ons vergader vanoggend hier voor u woord, Here. Hierdie is die plek, Here, waar ons vanoggend wil wees, waar ons tyd inkoop, Here, om by u voete te kom sit en toe te laat, Here, dat u Gees die werk sal doen in hierdie oomblik, Here. Spreek in ons harte u woord. Waar maak vanoggend praat, Here, seën hom, Vader, seën die woord wat hy gaan bring en laat elke luisteraar, Here, wat sal iets wegneem van hierdie wonderlike woord van u vanoggend, Here, dat dit 'n betekenis sal hê vir ieder en elkeen van ons. Seën die woord, Here, seën elke boete hier, elke sussie wat inluister ook, Here. Gaan net saam met ons in hierdie dag. Hierdie is die dag wat u vir ons gegee het, Vader. Ons bid dit in Jesus Christus naam. Amen. Ek gaan sommer vir sy kaptein, Jacob Boys, en as Jake sal op, ek wil net vir Jacob oorhandig, hy sal vermaak beter kan verduidelik as wat ek kan. Daar is hy Jake's nou. So Jacob, ja, die vloer is jou nou, my maat. Stel maar vermaak voor, jy is ek skiep gewees, so ja, olie ons brille.
Dankie David, ja, is my voorreg vanmôre om vir Mark voor te stel. Mark, thank you for doing this for us. It's lovely, brother, to have you on. So, I've met Mark in 1995 in the World Cup Rugby League. And when I met him, the day that I met him, me and Mark, I had this amazing feeling about Mark. Just this is a friend that you can walk a road with. And so we had the 95 World Cup with. He played for London Broncos at that stage in England. He was a rugby league player, started with rugby union like we all did in South Africa, and then he moved over to rugby league. He was very successful, one of the successful stories of rugby league South Africans that had a rugby league career. Is Mark. And I ran into Mark a few times here on the West Rand, and then one day he walked up the church and guys, I can't explain to you if I when I talk like about this, because Mark is one of the guys that I start praying for. And Mark recommit himself to Jesus Christ. And what a lovely man Mark is, guys. It's amazing to be friends with Mark, and he's really a man of God that's got an amazing testimony. And Mark, welcome with us, brother. I love you, my brother, and enjoy your morning.
Thanks very much, Jaco. Thank you for those kind words, Cappy. All glory to God, eh? For we wouldn't be here without him. There's been so many times in my life where the Lord has saved me numerous times. So we can just give him all the glory. 2 Corinthians 10:17 says, "Let he who glories glory in the Lord." I just want to give you a bit of a background about me, and then I want to shift the focus totally away from me, because it's not about us, is it? It's about Almighty God, Almighty Father in heaven. I'm going to start off with a little testimony, and then we're going to bring in reconciliation. I want to give us a word on reconciliation, and I want to tie that in with the parable that Jesus told us about the prodigal son. So I'm one of four brothers from a little town in Luitrichard. I grew up on a farm. My father's a farmer. He's still farming at the young age of 77, going on 78. I went to Soapansberg Primary School. Dis waar ek geleer het om die taal van ons, wat die Here ons gegee het, is descriptive language, of Afrikaans. I have many Afrikaans friends. There is no other language like it, is there? Praise the Lord. Went to high school in Petersburg, Capricorn High School. With us growing up on a farm, we started, I was in boarding school for my whole life, from grade one right through to matric. And of course, back in our previous government, we still had to do national service. I did my 2 years for my country. Ended up in the Air Force. My message this morning, and I hope it speaks to a few men and women and children out there, is this of a message of unforgiveness that I carried in my heart for over 20 years. I didn't speak to my father. I won't get into the nitty gritty details. I don't think that's appropriate for this right now on this platform. But I didn't speak to my dad. I had anger, hatred, unforgiveness, and we all know where that stems from. That horrible word called pride. And that is why our Lord God Almighty hates pride so much. Because our pride is what leads to so many different sins in our life. We know that the middle letter of pride and sin is I. So we think, I, this happened to me. It's I. And then when we have this revelation and the Lord speaks to us, and we open our hearts and we allow him into our hearts, suddenly I just goes away. It is no more. But it's all him. All glory to God. So if you will turn with me this morning to Luke 15, I want to read with us the parable of the lost son. Or the prodigal son. I'm reading from the New King James Version. This is Jesus obviously telling the parable. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood, and many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, then he arose to a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen in that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, in other words, when he realized, when he woke up and he realized that I can't do this anymore. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. When he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. In those days, it was a way of showing affection in that. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. So there's four things that we can take from this parable. Firstly, the prodigal son is the example to us of true repentance. The father shows who it pictures God, who is eager to forgive and longing for the return of the sinner. The main thing that comes out of us is the joy of God, the celebration of God as his son. Father, the son returns to the father. But God celebrates when we turn our lives around, when we repent fully from the depths of our hearts and put all our trust and faith in him. The main thing, like I said, was the joy of God, his celebrations that fills heaven when a sinner repents. The whole of heaven rejoices when one man comes to God, when one woman comes to God, when one child comes to God. Okay, so right from the fall in Genesis 3, verse 8, right through to Revelation 22, verse 17, God has been and will still be seeking to save sinners and rejoicing each time one repents and is converted. Being converted means we are regenerated. We die to sin, we are born again spiritually. So with my unforgiveness for my father, I carried this hurt. I imprisoned myself in my own heart. Okay? So no one else was suffering except me. We know in the Word of God in Matthew 18, the Lord says, if you don't forgive, he will hand you over to the tormentors. Right, so I was being tormented. Yes, I had a wonderful rugby career, and I praise the Lord for that. But because of my anger and my unforgiveness, I had built up these walls. I had locked myself away in my own prison in my heart. So I blocked out other people. I couldn't get into relationships. Yes, I had relationships, but the worldly way. When you're playing rugby and you're this superstar in England, when you're in those smaller towns, you're like a hero. You're a little god to them. They know everything about you. You can't walk anywhere without someone coming up to you and asking for your signature, wanting to speak to you, wanting to have photos done with you. But I want to say to young men that are hearing this, and I want to say to fathers, that it's more than that. Yes, it's wonderful to have this desire and this passion to play and do well and to be successful in that. But my message to you is, it's not everything. Because we all know on this platform, but your rugby career or your sporting career, whatever it is going to come to an end. Okay? Then that fame and worldly ways is going to come to an end. And then what? So I urge you to walk a path with the Lord. So my message this morning, in connection with that, is reconciliation. So I went and I Googled reconciliation. What does the word reconciliation mean? It means to reunite. It's a reunion. The Hebrew word is shalom, which brings peace because of this reunion, because of this reuniting. The Greek word is kataliso, which means to repair or make good, to change completely. So that's why I used this parable of the prodigal son who was lost in sin, lost in the ways of the world, And when he came down to nothing, when he had nothing left, he returned to his father. And I'm happy to say, I'm very happy to tell you all on this platform and anyone listening, that because of God's love for me and showing me the truth and the way, and because him saving me so many times and coming to fetch me, calling me, not out of our own works, it's God who does it. I'm like this with my father. We are so close. We have reconciled. We are one. You see, his father didn't love him. So he didn't know love. And hence, certain things were said, certain things were done, and that. But I'm so proud and happy to be able to tell you all that I can now look at my dad, and I do. I hug him, I look him in the eyes, and I tell him I love him. And a beautiful testimony that I can just add to it before I get on to the reconciliation is a couple of weeks ago, for the first time in a long time, he told me, "I love you too, Mark." Wow, that was so incredible, eh? That is so... Our earthly father plays such an important role in our lives. Us men, absent fathers, and I'm not just talking about men that aren't there, that have left their families. Often we're there as men in our families, but we're not there, are we? We're not leading our homes the way God wants us to lead our home. We're not leading our homes as being examples like Christ was an example to us. So having said that all, I want to take you back and explain to you why we need this reconciliation. Why God had to reconcile us to him through Jesus Christ. Starts right back with in Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve when they get tempted in the garden, and Satan says to Eve, "Did God really say that you can't eat of that fruit?" It causes this doubt in their minds, in her mind. Okay, so she sins, she goes, she eats the fruit, she gives it to Adam. Straight away, they realize that they're naked and they go and hide away. So what does that tell us? It's immediate shame, immediate guilt. So right there and then sin entered the world. That is why we were sinners, us men on this platform that have given our lives to the Lord. But that is where sin entered the world. The serpent was deceitful and cunning. Okay? Satan is the fallen archangel. He's an angel of light. He disguises himself. He's a very, and I'm sure we can all relate in different ways, that little voice where he says things and causes that little bit of doubt. But that is why God reconciles us to himself through Jesus Christ. But if we turn to Ephesians 2, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Let's get there. Ephesians 2, verses 1-5. "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So it's God's grace. It's his unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve any of it. But because he loved us so much that he sent his son into this world to die for us. Okay? Which leads me to our next point, is the commandments, 10 commandments. That is God's moral law to teach us with regards to what is right and what is wrong. But it is impossible to keep those moral laws, impossible to keep those commandments. God, they cannot be kept. So Romans 13, verse 8 to 10. Says this: I want nothing except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And that is why God sent Jesus, his only begotten son, to die for us on the cross. I just want to give you a little bit of a picture about God. He says in Isaiah 55, verse 9, verse 8 to 9, that my ways are not your ways. Okay, let me read it to you. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isn't that powerful? So I want to tell you a bit about God. God is omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. God is infinite. He's self-existing without origin. He never changes. Omnipresent. God is everywhere at the same time. God is wise. God is faithful. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11 to 13. This is the faithful saying: if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. God is good, people. God is just and fair. He cannot allow sinners into heaven. God is merciful. He's gracious, slow to anger. God is loving, kind, righteous. God is holy. He's sacred. He's revered, divine, endlessly perfect. Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Father is. That is why we need Jesus Christ. Without him, we are nothing. Without Jesus, we cannot meet God's holy standards. We fall very short of God's holiness. Okay, so this brings me back to my reconciliation. How God reconciles us to him. Romans 5, verse 7. Romans chapter 5. Verse 8 to 11. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from his wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Isn't that beautiful? That because of Jesus' obedience to the Father, because of Jesus' love, because of God's love, we are reconciled to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other way. Okay, John 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm reading the New King James Version. Okay. But people might say, yeah, but then why is there hell? Well, God created hell for Satan and his fallen angels. They rebelled against God. Okay, but God is a just God. He's righteous and he's fair. So if we don't repent truly from your heart and acknowledge the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I want to tell you that you will not see the kingdom of God, heaven. As hard-hitting as that is, it is the truth. God doesn't want us to perish. He doesn't want us to go to eternal condemnation. I'll tell you why. Here it is. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways. Live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die? You see, right, going back to Adam and Eve, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is what keeps us from God, what keeps us from his moral law, the Ten Commandments, which we cannot keep. We cannot keep. Let's be honest. We are just worthless earthly vessels in this world, pilgrims. But through Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to God. We are made righteous by grace through faith, not by any good works. I'm not saying don't do good things. We have to do good things. But what I'm explaining to you is, there's nothing that you can do to be accepted by God other than accepting the Lord Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior, repenting and then turning from that life. Romans 6:23 says this, and I'm coming to an end now, and then I'll hand it back over to you. You freak, but I need to read Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so yes, when we were still sinners, we were heading one way, but praise God, thank you, Jesus, that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 3:16-17. Everyone knows this, but this is the truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. My question is this. Anyone out there? If you've had any nudge or any inclination, commit your life to the Lord. You change. If you've hit rock bottom and there's nowhere else to go, I exhort you. That means I beg you. Give God a chance. Give the Lord a chance. Okay? Or are you going to be a dead fish floating down the river? Or are you going to be a live fish swimming upstream against the evil ways of the world into the open arms of our Lord God Almighty through Jesus Christ? I'm going to close with this, John 6, verse 44 and 47. This is Jesus speaking. No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. So, Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for coming and fetching me and my brothers. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone out there that you have spoken to through your word, through your message, through my lips, that you would soften those hearts, like you said in your word, you will replace that heart of stone with a heart of flesh. Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. For without you, we are nothing. But with you, we are more than conquerors. And we can do all things through Christ Jesus. Pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Hallo aan al ons Baasrak vriende. Ek het vir julle goeie nuus. Jy kan nou enige tyd, enige plek na ons Baasrak programme luister. Deur dit gratis te gaan aflaai op ons Baasrak potgooi webblad. Al wat jy moet doen is om die Baasrak webblad te besoek by www.baasrak.tv.
Jou oorwinning in Christus Radio. Baasrak Web Radio.